It's Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. Veronica Rickert is out today. All this week, we've been checking in on the Republican National Convention in Cleveland. We've had fiery speeches from members of the Republican Party, many calling for party unity, others in support of Donald Trump or against Hillary Clinton. Some members of the GOP, such as Senator Ted Cruz, not really on board with Donald Trump. And the biggest news of all, not really a big surprise at this point, Donald Trump is really the Republican nominee for president. We want to hear from you. What was your biggest takeaway from this week's convention? What do you want to see from the Democrats next week? Should Ted Cruz have endorsed Donald Trump? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or share your thoughts on the Central Time Facebook page. Joining us now for a look back at the RNC and the road ahead is Lily Gorin. She's a professor of political science at Carroll University. Lily, always good to talk to you.
Thanks for having me on today.
Well, big picture, looking back at this week of Republican conventioneering, do you think they did what they were hoping to do when it comes to party unity, united message coming out of it?
I'm not sure it was the most united RNC convention. I'll put it that way. Mm-hmm. I think that there were definitely calls and moves towards unity, and there was a lot of the, you know, sort of speeches and conventioneering that you expect from all of the, you know, political conventions in the last 20 or 30 years have been more, you know, generally infomercial and pep rally than they are, you know, actually delegates voting different ways and having sort of broad discussions about the candidates. That sort of went out with the advent of caucuses and primaries. But, you know, given the fact that most of the time these are four-day kind of infomercials for the candidate and for the party, there were probably some missteps and some, say, shall we say, unforced errors that transpired in the course of the week that made it a little bit less of the traditional pep rally infomercial.
I want to look at Donald Trump's speech last night a little bit. The message, of course, his party's not in power. There's going to be a critical message about the state of the country and the party that is in power. This was a little darker, a lot of people have been saying. This was sort of America is Gotham City before Batman shows up, almost. Like, really highlighting the idea that we're not safe, we're not secure, only Donald Trump can fix those problems. What did you make of that tone?
I think it's a little bit different than the tone that you usually expect from the person who's receiving the nomination from the party to be their presidential standard bearer. And if you look back at speeches by, you know, George W. Bush receiving the nomination in 2000 and again in 2004, at Barack Obama in 2008 and 2012, if you look back at even at Bob Dole, if you look back at Bill Clinton, you do see a sort of consistent, you know, usually a message of hope and, you know, sort of a positive moving forward. You do have, you know, sort of an attack on the party in power, the president in power. But a lot of the speech by the presidential nominee is usually about, you know, bringing the party and voters together behind that individual. Trump was consistent in his theme, but it was not one that necessarily inspired hope.
Let's give a listen to Trump. Another issue he's been talking about in addition to safety and security, jobs, trade, the economy. Here's a listen.
Every day I wake up determined to deliver a better life for the people all across this nation that have been ignored, neglected, and abandoned. I have visited the laid-off factory workers and the communities crushed by our horrible and unfair trade deals. These are the forgotten men and women of our country, and they are forgotten, but they're not going to be forgotten long. These are people who work hard, but no longer have a voice. I am your voice.
And that's kind of the ultimate populist appeal, I guess, Lily. I am speaking for the downtrodden, the forgotten people who have been overlooked by the elites of the country.
And that was a lot of what his message was last night, was he is the only person, the way he described it, who is giving voice to people who are downtrodden, who have lost their jobs, and so forth. And so that was the message he was communicating. But he also didn't, to some degree, I guess, in my analysis, turn the corner and talk about how he was going to move forward in what he was going to do with that voice.
He really seems to be staking his campaign on people agreeing that the country is in bad shape when it comes to crime, terrorism, and the economy. The economy, there's been a gradual, not awesome, recovery from the recession. Some people are pointing toward crime stats, relatively low when you look at a four-decade span. Can he make that case? Do you think people are going to listen to what he's saying and the headlines that are out there and say he's right, things are bad?
I mean, I think we certainly see this a lot when we have, you know, shootings, and we have shootings not only in this country, but there was, you know, a recent headline in this situation that's going on right now in Munich in Germany, that we have, you know, these issues of terrorism that are frightening, that we've also had in the United States some, you know, level of anxiety and fear higher than it had been before 9/11. But at the same time, you are right to cite the fact that there are, you know, there's been a 40-year decline with regard to violent crime, particularly homicide, across the United States. And so there is a disconnect, perhaps, between some of the articulation of, you know, the cities are burning, and what it is that most of us experience when we walk down the street in an urban area.
We're looking at the Republican National Convention with Lily Gorin from Carroll University, and you can join in 800-642-1234 with your thoughts. We'll go to our callers now. We've got John on the line in Duluth, Minnesota. John, hi.
Hi. Donald Trump is a demagogue. It's been from day one. The author of his book, his biography, just gave an expose on the radio in the last couple of days. How false it was, how empty he was. His college or whatever it was is ripping off students all through the years. He never cared about that. And we've had a history of demagoguery through the country. It appeals to the same classes through history, and he's only the latest person. And he's a dangerous person because nobody can control
John,
how he
thanks.
Will act.
I want to bring our guest in on this, Lee. John, placing Donald Trump, he says, in the history of demagoguery in the United States. How do you see that that history playing out? Obviously, the Republicans at this convention didn't agree with that.
No, I mean, Donald Trump was nominated by the Republican voters, and you know, people throughout the primary season, there were concerns from Republicans who were not supportive of Trump and continue to be concerns. I mean, Ted Cruz's speech, even at the convention, sort of articulated some of those concerns. But there is, you know, there is a sort of perpetual concern in our system, in a democracy, with regard to the you know, problem of demagoguery, which tends to prey on individuals' fears and sort of negative emotions.
You mentioned that speech by Senator Ted Cruz a couple days ago. Let's give a listen to one of the more dramatic moments.
You love our country and love your children as much as I know that you do. Stand and speak and vote your conscience. Vote for candidates up and down the ticket who you trust to defend our freedom and to be faithful to the Constitution.
Not clear from that speech if that candidate would be Donald Trump. I want to bring in a caller on this now. We've got Tracy on the line in Phoenix, Arizona. Tracy, hi.
Hey, I just wanted to say that I just think that Ted Cruz is just pretty much, for whatever I liked him before, I just don't care for him anymore. I just don't see him as a viable candidate in the future.
Because of that non-endorsement there?
Yes. Yeah, I think you need to rally behind the party. He was invited to the party, you know, and he's not the nominee, and he wants his bat, and he wants his ball. He's the guy that lost, and he just wants to do whatever he can to try to, you know, I think he just feels sorry for himself.
Tracy, thanks a lot for that call. Tracy is not alone in thinking that, Lily. There's been, including former Governor Tommy Thompson, thinks, what did he say, something like the biggest act of political suicide he's ever seen. Is that true, or will we have Ted Cruz to kick around again someday?
I don't think Ted Cruz is leaving the political stage. I could be wrong, but I find it unlikely that he's going to sort of leave the stage. But there are two schools of thought on Ted Cruz's move on Wednesday night. One is, as Tracy noted, that he shouldn't have been saying that at the convention. He came to the convention. It's Donald Trump's convention. He should either endorsed or not said something as potentially unfavorable as he did, or he should have just not come. And there are a lot of people who did come. The Bushes were not there, and Jeb Bush was decidedly not there. There were a lot of other candidates who had run who weren't there. There were others like Scott Walker and so forth, and Chris Christie who had run and who were there and who gave speeches. But I think Ted Cruz's decision cuts two ways for people who support Ted Cruz and wanted him to be the candidate. A lot of people see this as Ted Cruz's sort of first move for the 2020 nomination. Other folks like the caller and others like former Governor Tommy Thompson suggest that, this is the end of Ted Cruz's political career. I don't know if it's the end of his career, but I do think it definitely divided people in terms of whether they will support him in the future or not.
We're talking to Lily Gorin, political science professor at Carroll University, talking about the Republican National Convention. We want to hear from you. What did you think about this week's convention in Cleveland? What were your takeaways? Were you inspired if you're a Republican? If you had doubts about Donald Trump as your standard bearer, you still have those doubts, or are you on board now? If you're watching from the outside as a Democrat or independent, what did you think? Call in now at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or post on the Central Time Facebook page. More coming up, and maybe we'll hear from you here on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We're talking about the Republican National Convention in Cleveland this week. We want to hear from you. What did you think about what you saw there? Were you impressed with any of the speakers? Maybe some of the non-main profile speakers? Should Ted Cruz have endorsed Donald Trump? What did you think of Donald Trump's acceptance speech last night? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or post on the Central Time Facebook page. Lily Gorin stays with us, professor of political science at Carroll University. Before we get back to our callers, Lily, I want to listen to Donald Trump responding a little bit to that Ted Cruz speech. This was this morning at a news event.
I like Ted. He's fine. Again, I don't want his endorsement. If he gives it, I will not accept it, just so you understand. If he gives it, I will not accept it. It won't matter. Honestly, he should have done it because nobody cares. And he would have been in better shape for 4 years from now if he's going to be. I don't see him winning anyway, frankly. But if he did, it's fine. Although maybe I'll set up a super PAC if he decides to run.
So a lot of people in the Republican establishment have been saying, don't worry, Donald Trump is going to start acting more presidential as he pivots into the general election. But people are saying, well, look at how he responds to criticism in that Donald Trumpian way. Are we going to see Donald Trump change that much, do you think, Lily, between now and November?
I don't really think that we've seen Donald Trump change that much over the course of the election. And so I'm not necessarily inclined to see that, to say that he's going to change that much in terms of, sort of being more consistent across the board. And you played one clip from this morning's press conference, but then he went on to relitigate a lot of the disputes that he and Cruz had over the course of the primaries, including this crazy idea that Ted Cruz's dad was involved with JFK's assassination. And he went on and on. And so the good press that he was getting out of the convention last night, he stomped all over it with regard to the press conference this morning, talking about these kind of strange ideas about Ted Cruz. Why is he spending time on this when he's the nominee?
Let's go back to our callers now. Anita is on the line in Lake Villa, Illinois. Anita, hi.
Hi. I just wonder if people want to do themselves a service of looking at some of the documentaries and posing them over the Trump speeches, when he's speaking, the first thing that goes through my mind are the ranting, crazy, only I can fix you speeches that were of the German dictator at the beginning of World War One, or World War Two, rather. And it's like it's the same thing. All they did was just change some of the verbiage, but his presentation and his ranting, it points to dictatorship.
Anita, thanks for the call. And there have been people on Twitter comparing Donald Trump's speech last night, not necessarily to Hitler, but to, I guess, more authoritarian leaders through history. People questioning why he keeps coming back to the phrase America first, given that it had ties with anti-Semitism between the two world wars. Is this something that you think is going to put voters off of Donald Trump, Lily?
I don't know if it's going to put them off of him in general, but I do think that, you know, the speech last night, as I said, as somebody watching it as a voter, I wasn't necessarily moved in a hopeful direction. And so in that regard, it was a speech that, you know, doesn't give me a picture of the United States as a wonderful, amazing place that many of us think that it is, but is this really sort of scary place. And Trump's making the argument that he's going to change it. But at the same time, there's, you know, the sort of anger and fear that was embedded in a very long speech. I mean, it was a very long speech also about so many things with regard to crime and terrorism that are all true in terms of there is crime, there is terrorism, but there wasn't a sort of unifying message about how we the people are also going to contribute to changing this America. It was only about Trump, to some degree, as hearing our voice and being our voice. And so there was a little bit of a disconnect from the voter to Trump and Trump to the voter.
Thanks for the call, Anita. We'll go next to Rich on the line in Burlington. Rich, hi.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I just said I am not a Republican. I'm not a Democrat. I'm an independent. But one thing that I noticed in watching some of the convention, and I'm not thrilled with the candidates, either candidate from either party. But one thing that I found really disturbing, and I'm wondering if it's going to be duplicated with the Democratic convention, was, and I watched it on NPR, the coverage and everything, and I wish someone would time measure the amount of time that the commentators were commenting on what was being said instead of letting the people speak and hearing the speeches. And Glenn Ifill and the group at the table commenting on the everything, it seemed like they were just looking and digging for dirt. And there's plenty of dirt, no question about it, but I'm just hoping other people recognize that, and a lot of other people recognize that. Again, I'm not a fan of Donald Trump, but it's why do we need commentators to tell us what we just heard or what we're going to hear.
Gotcha, Rich. Thanks for the call. So the media mediating too much, he's saying, Lily.
Yeah, and you know, there's always concerns with regard to what the media is paying attention to and what they're focusing in on. And of course, you know, stations like C-SPAN tend to run a lot of the speeches completely devoid of commentary, and so there's less of that. Most of the network television shows or network stations are interested in keeping you interested, so you won't change the channel. And so in making sure that they have people commenting and possibly, you know, focusing on foibles and mistakes or whatever is going to actually keep viewers from changing the channel or turning the television off.
We're looking at this week's Republican convention with Lily Gorin from Carroll University. We'll go back to your calls now. We've got Scott on the line in Appleton. Scott, hi.
Hi, how you doing?
Good. Thanks. What do you think?
Well, I'm a Republican. Through and through and stuff. Like to kind of corner myself or put myself as more of a conservative than just a Republican. And I am just disheartened by Donald Trump. You know, early in the campaign system and stuff is they had made the pact together, but then as far as woo back whoever wins and stuff, but then later on, before the campaign, before the primaries were over, he had said that he wasn't going to, and that I don't need anybody's endorsement. They don't have to have mine. You know, I don't need theirs. They don't need mine. The other thing, Ted Cruz is no schmuck. He got thousands, hundreds, millions, whatever. He got tons of votes. He had, 400, 500 delegates?
Mm-hmm. Scott, thanks a lot for the call. Running a little low on time, and I want to bring Lily in on this. Scott is the person that I think a lot of Republicans are worried about right now. Republicans who are not happy with Donald Trump as president, not sure what they're going to do on Election Day.
Yeah, and I think this is, you know, this has been the issue all along in this primary season. And I said it to my students all during the spring, is that the Republican Party going into the primaries and the caucuses in 2016 is not the Republican Party that has necessarily come out of the caucuses and the primaries with Donald Trump as their standard bearer. And I think that the caller, Scott, is, you know, sort of pointing at some of the issues around Trump and to some degree coming out of this convention, which was an attempt, again, to try to unify the party. That was a lot of what Wisconsinite Rince Priebus, as chair of the RNC, was working to do. And a lot of the other speakers were also working to do, as well as Trump in his speech last night. But it's not clear. We'll know in a couple of days, you know, as polls start to roll in with information, whether or not there is a sense of a more unified Republican Party.
Briefly, Lily, as we wrap up, a lot of Wisconsin speakers at the convention this week. There's been talk that Wisconsin may not even be a battleground state this time around. Other people disagree with that. Briefly, your take. Is Wisconsin at play?
I mean, I think Wisconsin is at play. We also have a very high profile and probably very combative Senate race that's also going to be part of why Wisconsin is not necessarily to be written off. But if you remember the primary here in Wisconsin, Donald Trump was not the winner. Ted Cruz was. Ted Cruz did really well in the primary in Wisconsin. And so there may be more Republicans or conservatives like the caller Scott, who is maybe not satisfied with Trump as the Republican standard bearer this year.
Lily, thanks a lot for joining us.
Sure, my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
That's Lily Gorin, professor of political science at Carroll University. She joined us from our Milwaukee studio to talk about the Republican National Convention in Cleveland. She'll be back with us precisely 1 week from now to recap the Democratic National Convention from Philadelphia. Coming up after the news, it's Food Friday, and we'll bring you flavors from the American South with a lot of interesting twists and turns along the way. I'm Rob Ferret. This is Central Time here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.